Hello, David Crosby. What a pleasure. How in the musical world are you?
I am, I'm pretty damned happy.
Good for you. And by all accounts, you are thriving. You're enjoying a renaissance in the musical world. When did your whole musical passion all begin?
I don't know. It's always been that way. We sang, my family sang, we always listened to folk music and sang music. And
always there.
The deal.
And since then, it's one wild and crazy, larger than life ride you've been on. And you've just shared that whole story in a new documentary called Remember My Name. How does it feel having that under your belt and out there for all the world to see?
Well, it's a little weird, being a channel and being naked in public. it has mixed blessings. I like it because it's very honest. It's so not how things normally are done. Normally, documentaries on musicians are very shallow, shunning jobs. And so far people like it because it's at least trying very hard, to be honest.
I totally get that. I do look forward to seeing it. I grew up with loving you and all the stuff that you did. I will say about the movie, as the tagline notes, with unflinching honesty, self-examination, regret, fear, exuberance, and an unshakable belief in family and the transformative nature of music. Okay. Would you speak to that most powerful factor in your life, that transformative nature of music? How has that carried you along on this whole journey?
Wow, big question. it's my raison d'etre. It's my reason for being. So, that and my family, that's what I love. That's what I care about. So
it's big and powerful. Sure, sure it is.
Yeah.
And they've always been there for you no matter what else has happened in your life, your music and your family.
Yeah, they're pretty constant, pretty great.
Okay, well then, do you have a particularly touching memory that would be forever in your heart?
Thousands of them, sure. Birth of my son, Django.
Mm-hmm.
That was a peach.
That is something fantastic, David. And you've lived through some of the finest decades, those years, those golden years, the 60s and the 70s and the 80s that defined your whole musical realm. What makes them so special?
The writing, I think. I think it's the writers. The level of songs was exceptional. It's a weird thing. It's happened before. If you look at history, there's periods of time, the Left Bank of Paris in the 30s, the Renaissance in Italy in the 1500s. Art has sort of peaks and valleys, and there are times when there are peaks and there are a lot of people involved who are exceptional. Look at the painting in the 30s and 20s in France. It's like way out of proportion. There's like 9 of the best painters in history all at the same time, right in the same place.
It's a really good comparison and certainly valid. And so when it was happening and you were right in the heart of that movement, could you stop and think about it? Did you?
No, we didn't know. We knew Joni was good. We knew Bob was good. We knew these people were writing better than anybody had. We knew the Beatles were good. We knew Steely Dan was good. It's not hard to tell that these people are exceptionally good.
We didn't
know why. And to this day, I don't think anybody does.
That's a good point.
I think there are times when there is a resurgence of art and it is triumphant for a moment. I wish it would happen more often, but...
Now, in those golden decades you just listed, zenning through all of this, you were part of it. Did you ever feel that kind of special just because you were with all these people?
No, we didn't know. You don't realize, and you shouldn't realize. Otherwise, you wind up standing there going, gosh, I'm significant. And that's not a useful place at
that's
all.
That's a great point. Now, you were just going with the flow, or making your own flow, I should say, and really living it all, doing it all. The drug culture and scene and everything that was happening, who knew that was the first big thing of that sort? Back then, would it have mattered if you had? Would there have been a cautionary thing to make you not do it? Really?
Well, here's the thing. Here's how that worked. The stuff that we were fooling around when we were hippies, pot and psychedelics, not a problem, really. Pots like beer and wine, psychedelics are not for people who have got their screws loose, but can actually do some good. The other drugs, coke and heroin and that kind of stuff, those were utter total destroyers, and they have always been utter total destroyers, and they're always going to be lurking around there somewhere in the background waiting to snap up people that are stupid enough to fall into them. But they're there, and there's nothing good about them, nothing to be said in any way that makes them any better than just death. But pot, no, pot, it's not a problem. Pot's going to be legal all over the United States of America and very soon, and it's going to be a good thing. It's better for people than booze.
You rather have an interesting testimonial on it. You had to learn your various lessons the hard way. I get it. What would you tell kids in that same position today about drugs?
You know, listen to a whole lot of music. Don't do any hard drugs. Two simple ones right there.
Mm-hmm. Great advice, David. Right on. Thank you for that. Meanwhile, the upside of that whole conversation is the legalization of marijuana these days, to be sure. Now, to that end, you've got a legal cannabis in the works. Sounds like getting ready to go. The Mighty Cross, you're calling it. What a concept and what a project, too. How does that make you feel?
Well, if we can work it out, it's really funny. Right now, the subject of cannabis in the United States of America is just like the Wild West. It's really funny. There's 1,000 companies out there that all think they're going to be General Motors next week, and they're not. But you remember when there used to be 50 car companies?
Yes.
All right, well, now there's 5, you know. So what happens is that's the nature of corporations. They eat each other, do each other, and, you know, wind up conglomerating into big, huge super corporations, right? Well, that same thing, that same process will go on with all of these companies, all these startups, these thousands, literally thousands of startups that are going on right now. And it's fascinating to talk to people. We're trying to find people with a long view, people who understand, you know, that we're going to look at this for 20 years from now and 40 years from now, and trying to find people that we can work with. And we're working on it.
Good for you. And David, I know you're in demand. You are the man of the hour. Always will be, I'm thinking. So thank you so much for taking time to speak with us today. Safe travels and happy musical trails, and see you soon.
Okay. Thank you very much.
That was an arts and culture interview by WBOI's Julia Meek. You can find more of Julia's arts-driven reporting at WBOI.org and on the WBOI Facebook page.